Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. The top story, the Royals have called up Jack Caglione. He is going to make his major league debut tomorrow at Busch Stadium against the St. Louis Cardinals. You can catch that right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is my question. Now, I'm happy to ask you guys this because this is not a position that I find myself in. I can't remember the last time that I purchased a jersey. Are you going out and you're getting the Jack Caglione jersey? Because this is how I would play it, text line. You tell me if I'm right, if I'm wrong, or how you're doing it. 913-586-7965. I don't think there is a reason to rush to go get the Caglione jersey. I'm going just t-shirt for right now. I'm going to make a small investment. I imagine a lot of you are going to go out to the ballpark next Tuesday. I already got my tickets for next Tuesday's home opener game. I heard this. I made a text real quick. Hey, I need to be there. I was going to go anyway. It was the Yankees and it was Dollar Dog night. You're telling me it's Yankees, Dollar Dogs, and it's Jack Caglione's major league debut? Sign me up. I could understand going t-shirt. You go down a rally house, you get yourself the Caglione t-shirt. You got a $20 investment in this player. I don't know if there's needs to be a rush to go get the jersey right now. I would still keep wearing the Bobby Witt jersey, still keep wearing the Salvi, still keep wearing the great players from the 14 and 15. And if Cags has a good rookie year, next year for opening day, treat yourself and go get yourself the Jack Caglione jersey. I don't think you need to be in a rush. If you're going to get the Cags jersey right now, you're only getting it to say that you already have it. I'm not saying that he's going to be a bust. I'm not saying that it's going to bottom out. I'm just saying is it's not like there's going to be a shortage on them if he turns out to be that guy. If he turns out to be Lorenzo Cain, if he turns out to be Alex Gordon, trust me, you are going to have plenty of time to go get the Caglione jersey. But I'm saying right now, the smart play might need to be you go spend the $20, $25 to get the little t-shirt. Royals on the front, got the name, got the number on the back. Let people know who you're supporting. Let's see how this thing goes for the first 90 days, the first 120 days. He's going to be here for the rest of the year. And if he's in the rookie of the year conversation, yeah, maybe you get it for opening day, or maybe that's an August purchase. But I'm not running out there right now to pick up the Cags jersey. It's way too risky to make that investment.
I might not be the right audience for this question. I'm not really in the Jersey game anymore. Matter of fact, I think the last Jersey or Jersey that I bought before Mahomes was like Yordano Ventura. I mean, it's been a minute for me. That being said, though, this is special. We have not seen a prospect like this. I was there for Hosmer's debut. I remember Moose's debut. We haven't had someone that did have the upside, the MVP upside that Caglione has. So, I might just be getting back on that train with you. But C-Dot, you said you called in a favor to go out there next Tuesday night. It's going to be Buck night. Those tickets don't come with a jersey? You can't even get hooked up with a jersey?
No, I'm not getting any of that. I actually got to call a timeout. I'm sorry to cut you off here. I got to call a timeout here. The text line is saying that the t-shirt jersey is $50. I was like, nah, y'all making this up. So I did a Google. I just typed in Bobby Witt Jr. t-shirt jersey. Right now on Fanatics, it's $49.99. Down at Rally House, it's $45 for the Royals t-shirt with the Bobby Witt Jr. on the back. Scratch that idea. I'm not getting Jack Caglione anything now at this point. You got to make a $50 investment before you've even seen an AB. 20 is one thing. 25. I had no clue that inflation had hit in this way. It's $50 for the Royals t-shirt jersey. You might as well put an extra 50 with it and go get the jersey then.
Look, if it's $50.
My apologies. I didn't know. I had no clue right now that it was $50 for the $50? That's ridiculous. Y'all spending that for the t-shirt? This is a $20 move back in my day. You got to go on the side of the road and you got to get the unofficial merch. I'm starting to see why so many of y'all wearing fake jerseys now. I'm starting to see why so many of you are going on AliExpress or Temu to get your jerseys. Because the real one hitting you for the 50 spot, that's ridiculous.
I know about the unofficial t-shirt site. It's not too far from the stadium, actually. Yeah, that might be the move. Look, if it's $50 for a jersey, I'm out. We got to do what those Browns fans do, where they put the tape on the jersey and write the new name.
That's
in there
crazy.
With
no, I can't do that either.
But well, I'm doing that before I'm spending $50 on a jersey. I can't do that.
I'm sitting here looking at it right now on Walmart. They got the Bobby Witt Jr. for $38.99. The replica. I'm gonna have to go ahead and make one of these moves. I had no clue. Hey, text line, I want to apologize. I'm serious. I got to apologize. I should have done a quick Google search before I wrote this down as a topic today. I didn't know that's what you guys were paying for the t-shirt jersey. I thought you were getting the t-shirt jersey because, you know, it's cheap. You don't want to make that full commitment to the jersey, so you go get the t-shirt jersey. You might as well just save up a little bit and get the official. At this point, what's stopping you? You might as well spend an extra $20-$30 and just get the throwback jersey. You definitely can get the Bo Jackson batting practice one for $75, $85 or so. I'd much rather have that than have the Jack Caglione t-shirt jersey. I had no clue, Fanatics, you're going to pay for this. Fanatics and Ticketmaster, you're going to pay for the crimes that you have committed to our people, because that's a ridiculous number for it. Nathan, when's the last time you bought a jersey?
Man, I think I was gifted a Mahomes Super Bowl jersey. I think the last time I spent my own money on a jersey was Yordano Ventura. It was Yordano Ventura. And that's when they, maybe 2014, 2015, came out with those road jerseys. That's like the deep blue that they started wearing. Before then, it was just the grays when they went on the road. And so I was like celebrating that. I think that was the last time. It's probably been 10, 11 years since I bought a jersey.
Man, I learned so much in this segment, man. I want to apologize to you guys. I really do want to apologize. You know what? I'll just wait till they do the t-shirt giveaway at the stadium. That's when you got to go. Because eventually, they're just going to give you a Jack Caglione t-shirt. I'm guessing that the Royals have already called in Charlie Hustle right now to just have a special t-shirt Tuesday. I mean, if you got this hot of a prospect, you got to do something. I mean, he's not going to get a bobblehead. He's not at a bobblehead point, but you definitely can call one of your sponsors to put together a t-shirt really quickly to get people to go out there. I mean, maybe they'll put something together for next Tuesday. I don't know what their plans are. I imagine they're going to do something. They have to know that people are going next week. It's too many things that intersect all at one time. We're looking at Jack Caglione's major league debut, and I haven't even looked at what the starter could be. I mean, it could be like a really good pitching matchup, too. The Yankees are in town. It's dollar hot dogs on that Tuesday, and it is the biggest major league debut. And I'm not going to put Bobby Witt Jr. in this conversation just because Bobby Wood Jr.'s first game was on opening day, that just changes the conversation. This is the biggest debut that they have had at Kauffman Stadium since Eric Hosmer. Since Eric Hosmer was here. So you don't get these kind of games at Kauffman Stadium very often. The people are coming. You got to call a couple of your sponsors. Call up Guy's Potato Chips and get you a Jack Caglione t-shirt made for next Tuesday. It is going to be a time out at Kauffman Stadium. Coming up on the other side, if you missed it, we had J.J. Cooper on the show earlier today. There is nobody that knows baseball prospects better than him. We'll play for you what he had to say about Jack Caglione. Keep it right here, so drive. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, the jerseys have now gotten up to 140, 160. Someone texted in and said, my husband gave me a $75 Rally House gift card so I could go get a Royals jersey. I found out they were 140. Yeah, y'all better than me, man. Because I'd look at that Bobby Witt Jr. jersey at 140, and I'd have walked out of there. I'd have walked out of there. Hey, no thanks. I'm good.
Rally House is proud of what they have.
No, they're not playing around. My homie works up there, so I can use a discount whenever I need something. But normally, I just get stuff for Christmas gifts. You know, I get somebody else the jersey. Like, oh, I want the Mahomes. Oh, yeah, I get you the Mahomes. I get it working for 45% off. Yeah, I'll hook you up. But I'm not getting, I don't want a jersey that bad. I'm not really a jersey person. I'll go team hoodie. Like, I'll go get a, you know, Mizzou hoodie. I'll go get a Mizzou jacket or something, but I'm walking in to get the jersey, the $160 jersey. I can't do it. Y'all better than me. I don't have it. I don't want it, actually.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, the text line's full of people like, you shouldn't wear another man's name on your back. It's not that. I just am not a jersey person, but I'm team appareled out. I'll wear a jersey. I'll wear a, you know, if they go to the playoffs again, I'll probably get something else that says 2025 playoffs on it, right? But, no, $140 for a, I mean, maybe if you get it at 45% off, we could talk, but that's ludicrous.
Yeah, y'all got it. I ain't got it. I'm telling you right now, my bank account, it's not set up like that for me to spend $140, $160 on a jersey. I'm telling you this. If you're telling me jerseys are $140 and $160, some of you guys have made terrible investments in these things. In that case, I'm only getting the Mahomes and Kelce jersey. I'm not getting anybody else's jersey. You're telling me that you spent $160 on the kicker? Oh, hell no. That's crazy. For $160, you could have met Harrison Butker. We could have set that up for you to meet him. You chose to go buy his jersey? That's crazy to me. Now that I know how much they cost, that's nuts to me. You spent $160 on a Sky Moore jersey? You got to be ashamed of yourself. I'm serious. You got to look back on that like I made a terrible decision. I would just get the Mahomes jersey. And you know what? When I need a new jersey, I'm going to just get the one with the Super Bowl patch on it. That Mahomes 15 will never go out of style. That Kelce 87 will never go out of style. You spent $160 on a Clyde Edwards-Helaire jersey? I would, you know what? Now I'm starting to get why you guys hate these players so much, because you spent $180 for the Mecole Hardman jersey. I see why y'all so mad on the text line now. A lot of things are starting to make sense now that I know how much these jerseys cost. It is all starting to become very, very clear. So earlier today in the show, if you guys missed it, we had J.J. Cooper on the show. J.J. Cooper is the managing editor at Baseball America. It is basically the publication that ranks minor league baseball players. There might not be a better voice to speak to Jack Caglione, the prospect, than J.J. Cooper of Baseball America. Our conversation with J.J. started with, this happened a whole lot sooner than we originally anticipated.
I would say, to his credit, he's kind of forced a pretty quick timetable. Now, also, I would say that him being able to potentially fill needs that the Royals have works out for that pretty well, too. Obviously, he can provide power. This is a team that's kind of lacking in power. But to his, the main part of it is, it doesn't look like, especially at the plate, it doesn't look like that the minor leagues really have much to challenge him, and that forces a faster timetable.
JJ, as someone who has seen a lot of prospects, what are you seeing from him currently at the plate? Why do you think minor league baseball was so relatively easy for him?
He has some of the best power you're ever going to see as far as pure power. We saw that in college. We've seen that in the minors. I would expect you'll see this in the majors. Like, when you talk about Royals hitters who can hit the ball the furthest, right? Obviously, you don't get extra runs you know, if a home run's 465 feet versus scraping over the wall. But at the same time, you probably are going to hit more home runs if you can hit a ball 465, 475 feet. That's something that Jack can do. That's something that he did at Florida. That's something he's done in the minors. This is a guy who, I mean, that ballpark is always going to make it tough for anyone to hit a bazillion home runs. We've seen that over the years, obviously. Yeah, the list, there are a lot more great Royals hitters over the years than there are great Royals sluggers. But it would not surprise me at all if Jack ends up being one of the greatest sluggers that the Royals have ever had.
That's where, at least when I'm looking at this move, I kind of see it twofold. I see it from everything that you're talking about. The Royals offense certainly needs a boost. They need somebody that can help drive in runs and somebody with a little bit of power. I think he provides that for this team. I also think that he has shown great maturity in moving up the ranks. I also see this as the Royals kind of pressing the panic button when it comes to their offense this season. Their offense has just been really bad, and they need a boost desperately.
I would say this. The way that we had a scout talking to one of the other guys on our staff made the point. He said, look, Jack's just not going to get challenged in the minor leagues. It doesn't mean he won't struggle. It doesn't mean that at the major league level he may not have some adjustments to make. But he could spend another 100 games in AAA. He's not going to have to make those adjustments because they're not going to provide the challenge to do that. With all that being the case, you might as well bring him up. And maybe he hits the ground running, and you're talking about he's a middle-of-the-order bat from day one. But even if not, the way he's going to get to that point is by facing big-league pitching. Now, you know, we could talk about the defense. That's a little bit of a bigger question, especially if he's going to be playing the outfield a lot. But at the plate, there's really – you could kind of make the argument that if he's going to have – things that he has to learn, he's going to have to face big league pitchers to learn them. So there's no benefit to having to wait on that. And especially when with these kind of, he's really a good bad ball hitter and he has exceptional power. Maybe he just never has to go through those learning, you know, that learning curve that most mortal prospects have to go through.
Right now, we're talking to JJ Cooper with Baseball America, learning a little bit more about Jack Caglione. You've mentioned challenges a couple of times. What challenges do you think he hasn't faced so far? What challenges do you think he's about to face in his first 30 days in the majors?
He's always been a very aggressive hitter, right? Now, that hasn't really ever significantly come back to hurt him. This is the guy who hit over 400 at Florida in his draft year. But there's long been a thought that at some point, better pitching is going to take advantage of that aggressiveness. It's never happened, right? It hasn't happened in the minors at any level. We have a story up today at baseballamerica.com, the StatCast standouts we do every week, that kind of makes a note that his chase rate in AAA is getting better and better. So maybe he's making that adjustment without ever kind of facing the bad consequences of it. But if you told me that changeups and sliders gave him some issues in the majors, wouldn't shock me at all. He will kill a fastball if you leave it anywhere over the plate. He's going to, you know, you better be a good slider. It better be a good changeup. It's not going to be something where just any slot's going to do. But those are the challenges that I can see. Like, you can see that for almost any young hitter. I do offer kind of that or a little bit of a reminder. If he has a great first month, that's great. If he has a terrible first month in the majors, people should go back and look what Mike Trout did the first time he came up to the majors. It's not always linear, but it is something where you want to see these developments happen pretty quickly.
JJ, reading the story last week from ESPN, they talked a lot about chase rate and strikeout rate. When you look at Jack, is that something that bothers you? Is that something that concerns you? Or is this just something that the modern baseball player is going to deal with because they just strike out more than players 10, 20 years ago?
Pitchers are way better than they were 20 years ago. So, yeah, they're going to strike out more. They throw harder. They throw nastier stuff. However, Jack is the kind of guy who has shown the ability to cope with that, and he's also shown, like, if you hit 35 homers, like, he's been a 300 hitter in the minors. He was a 400 hitter in college. If he's a 250 hitter in the majors, he could be a very good player.
One thing that I think excites me as someone that has watched this organization my entire life is you mentioned the possibility of him being a slugger. I'm just trying to think of how many of those guys that the Royals have even had in their organization. You mentioned it. They have had some great offensive players. They really haven't had many guys that you think have the ability to put the ball over the wall. The way that you describe his power, it sounds like he could be one of the rare breed of Royals prospects that we've seen in the last 10, 20 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is Bo Jackson type of raw power. That's what we're talking. I struggle. Jorge Soler, I guess, you know, he was a Royal for a while. He has someone who had that kind of raw power, but there aren't many. There are not many.
JJ, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball for Jack Caglione. Where do you project him playing? Do you think he's a first baseman? Do you think he's an outfielder? Where do you think he best fits in the field?
Ideally, he's a first baseman. I think that's his best position. I also completely understand, like, if you're the Royals, you're probably going to play him at right field, you know, left field, right field, depending on whichever is the smaller park. That's going to make a lot of sense for him because they need outfield help more than they need first base, DH. You've got Pasquantino. You know, obviously, Salvi played, you know, DH is a good bit now. Those positions are occupied a lot of nights. In the outfield, last I checked, as of yesterday, I think Kyle Isbell, you know, leads the outfielders with three homers. That could be a good week for Jack.
Right now, we're talking to J.J. Cooper with Baseball America here for a couple more minutes, learning a little bit more about Jack Caglione. Let's talk more about the outfield. What do young outfielders struggle with as he is making this development? This is not his natural position. He hasn't spent a lot of time in the minors playing in the outfield. What do young players struggle with when it comes to the outfield?
Well, he has some limitations that are just going to always be there, right? He's not the fastest guy in the world. And there is a certain amount of how much ground you cover depends on your foot speed. But the things that you do develop are, okay, how well do you read the ball off the bat, right? When the ball's hit, how long does it take you to realize where it's going and to make your move? And then do you go in the right direction, right? Do you take... Can you figure out that, I mean, to sound mathematical about it, but can you figure out where the ball is going to land? Can you figure out that intercept point and run a direct route to get there, or is it a little bit more meandering? I will say for him, I've watched every play he's made in the outfield this year. He hasn't been brutal out there, right? He catches the ball. He's had mainly routine plays, but he catches those pretty well. The challenge that he is facing, that I think he will face, is he doesn't have great foot speed. And I know he's a two-way player in college. He also kind of, his arm, you know, his velocity really tailed off at the end of last season in Florida. I haven't seen the cannon so far in the outfield either. So that'll be also something to watch. Does he have that arm that he had on the mound where he was high 90s at times? Or is he not throwing like that as much anymore? So, like, again, I don't expect him to be horrendous out there. He looks like he's got some aptitude. But at the same time, don't expect him to be, you know, this is a team that at times was, you know, fielding Lorenzo Cain in center and Gerard Dyson in right. It's not going to be that either. He's not going to be that rangy kind of guy.
JJ, you and I were talking about this before we hopped on air, that you have some questions about Jack. Now that he's hit the major league, what questions do you have? What worries you a little bit, or what could be a problem for him as he makes this final step in his career?
I would say, like, I mean, again, it's hard for me to imagine him not being a productive big leaguer, especially guys who move like this, the hit rate on them is much higher than guys who take 5 years to figure it out. However, you know, there are still enough concerns. Like, there are a lot of ways where he ends up being a very good player and not a great player, and that's not a criticism, really, right? Like, you need good – not everyone's Bobby Witt Jr. You need good players to go around your great players. Jack might be a great player. He has a chance to be a home run champ. If he doesn't, if he ends up being kind of more of that low average slugger, 230, 240, doesn't draw a bazillion walks, hits his homers, but that kind of gets, kind of loses some of those to the state, the home stadium, the home park he plays at. He could be a good player then. And again, especially if you're talking about a first baseman, okay, you know, if he's a first baseman long term, the demands on the bat are pretty high. All these things. His defense could be pretty poor if he's in the outfield because he just doesn't have enough range. All these things could kind of keep him from being a great player. But it is at this point kind of hard for me to imagine him not being a useful player, a useful regular. And let's just be honest about it. That's a bar that 10 to 15 first-rounders a year fail to clear. And here we are less than a year after he was drafted, and we can say it seems very likely he's going to clear that bar.
So, JJ, let's go best-case scenario. Let's say that he hits his absolute ceiling. What does that look like for him as a player? And let's say that he hits what you just mentioned. He is a good major leaguer. He is not a great major leaguer. He's not a guy that gets you to go buy a ticket, but he's a really solid complimentary piece on a good team. What player comparison is that for him?
So, best case, I would say he's, and when I say Giancarlo Stanton, I'm sure that people are, Giancarlo Stanton or Pete Alonso, but again, don't think of Stanton right now. Think of Stanton as peak, kind of that home run champ type guy. And I'm struggling to come up with a player who's kind of that mid-level guy, but what I'm thinking about there is a guy who hits 25 to 30 homers, strikes out a lot, doesn't provide a lot for you defensively or on the base pass, that kind of guy, who's still a good player, but, not that all-star every year type player.
That is J.J. Cooper of Baseball America joining us on the show today. There is not many people right now that cover the game that know minor league prospects better than him. Really excited for Jack Caglione to make his major league debut on Tuesday against the St. Louis Cardinals. J.J., great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That was J.J. Cooper joining us on the show. If you missed any part of that, be sure to check out the podcast page, 96.5 The Fan, and also on the Odyssey app. I just went on Pro Baseball Reference to look up Giancarlo Stanton just because I was curious since that was a comparison that he gave. Giancarlo Stanton, for his time in Miami playing for the Marlins, he averaged 33 home runs, 84 RBIs, hit .270 with a .360 on base percentage, and obviously had incredible extra base power. If you were telling me that's what you think Jack Caglione will turn into, or Pete Alonso, sign me up. He might not end up being best case scenario, right? Very few athletes end up hitting their absolute ceiling and potential of what they can be. But I do think it's very safe to say, I don't think the Royals have ever had a prospect like this. I think it's a little bit different than Bobby Witt Jr. I think you knew that Bobby was the real complete package. I mean, talking about a kid that came straight out of high school, a kid that didn't play college ball and still got up relatively quickly. Like, Bobby Witt Jr. is a baseball prodigy, and I think we've seen that obviously very early on in his career. I think Jack has some of those characteristics, but I don't think that he has the complete package that Bobby Witt Jr. does. But I'm talking about the raw power numbers, his hope of translating that to this level, that can be a guy that has extra base power, that can hit the ball over the wall, a guy that can drive in runs for you. The Royals just haven't had that many kind of prospects. That's not how we talked about Eric Hosmer when he was coming up. That's not how we talked about Mike Moustakas. Not this kind of power. Listen to the comparisons that are being made for Jack Caglione. Giancarlo Stanton, Pete Alonso. We're talking about multiple time all-stars. We're talking about guys that can win silver sluggers at their positions. We're talking about guys that have a chance to potentially go to the Hall. Like, we're talking great players. I think the point that JJ made is a really good one. Hey, man, if you get called up this quickly, you usually hit as a player. Now, again, maybe you don't go on to be your best case scenario, but we're talking about he has played 50 minor league games after a great college career. Not a good college career, a great college career, and played 38 games for Northwest Arkansas. He played 12 games in Omaha, 50 games. He is now on the Kansas City Royals. That guy rarely flames out and is a complete bust. We're not talking about a guy that it took a windy road to get here. No, it was a pretty linear path. It was a rocket ship is what it is. I'm a big believer when you have this kind of prospect that you just got to throw him in the deep end of the pool and see if it works. If you got Cam Ward with the number one overall pick as your starting quarterback, to me, you are wasting time trying to go with the veteran for the first couple of... No, you have the number one overall pick. If that player is what you think he's going to be, then eventually he's going to figure it out. Yes, maybe he struggles, but the greats are going to find a way past their struggles to get there. It took Kobe a little bit of time.
Kobe was going to put the work in. I'm not going to be a failure of an NBA player. Go back. You remember Kobe airballs three straight times in a playoff game. That same Kobe you look at as the epitome of mental toughness. He was always going to figure it out. So maybe Jack Caglione gets off to a rough start. It's not going to be because they rushed him. Minor league baseball doesn't help him anymore. He can stay down there and keep hitting 350, keep hitting for, you know, 400 on-base percentage, keep hitting home runs, or you can come up here, challenge your skill set against the absolute best in the world, and live with the ups and downs that come with being a major league player.
Look, I'm with you. I don't think the Royals have, at least in my lifetime, ever had a prospect of this ilk, period. JJ talked about, you know, what does it look like if he comes up and he is just average, just a normal outcome of what we think Cags can be in his career. And he said 25 to 30 homers, drives in 90 to 100 runs. That 2015 year when Eric Hosmer was at his best, he hit 25 home runs, drove in 100 runs. So we're saying an average outcome for his career is peak Eric Hosmer. I'm taking that every day of the week. I'd be shocked if he was an absolute bust based on that trajectory you talked about. And guys like Pete Alonso and Giancarlo Stanton, they could go to the Hall of Fame. Giancarlo Stanton has 430 home runs. He won the MVP. He hit 60 home runs in a season one time. We're talking about guys. Balboni's record of 36 home runs stood for 30 years, and like Moose barely broke it. And then we had the random one-offs from Soler and Salvi, who, you know, Salvi's got some power, but he's not a 50 homer a year guy like he was that one season. Not once have we had a bona fide power hitter like this come up through our system in my entire lifetime of watching the Royals.
Someone on the text line asked the question, how many of the guys in Jack's class have already got the call up? Give me a little bit of time. I'll look this up here for you guys. I don't want to give you guys any incorrect information. I do think that we are seeing that the sport is changing. If you're one of these kinds of prospects, man, you don't stay down in the minor leagues for a year, year and a half. It's kind of a waste of everybody's time. I know the belief in baseball is that, you know, you got to stay down in the minor leagues. And maybe that's the case if you're an okay prospect, or maybe that's the case if you're a guy that skips college. But if you're a guy that went to a high level program, we're talking about Jack Caglione was one of the best players in the SEC, went to the University of Florida and played in two College World Series. You've already been playing high minor league baseball. Now, they get paid more than some of these professional guys with name, image, and likeness. And don't think that it's because it's college baseball. They're not getting decent checks to be playing college baseball now instead of going to whatever farm league team that you were going to go to. So he's already been facing double-A, triple-A pitching. So when he gets there, he just continues what he's been doing. And I think the Royals just came to the conclusion that I just don't know if our perception of him, and I don't know if you would have seen the growth that you need to with another 100 ABs, another 125, another 150 ABs. I think it's very obvious that that level is not good enough for him. He was going to continue to dominate that level. Now it's time to see if he can do it at this level, at the absolute highest level. Now there's going to be some struggles. If he comes in here and he is just dominating this from the jump, the way that he did, we're talking about one of the greatest players of all time. There's going to be some ups and downs. He's going to strike out a bunch. If there's one thing that I think we know, I think he's going to hit for power. I think he's going to strike out a bunch, at least early on in this process. But if he is the prospect that they keep telling us that he is, and that he has basically been at every level of his baseball career, you don't get to Florida unless you're really good at baseball. You don't be a top 10 pick unless you're really good at baseball. You don't get to the Royals in 50 minor league games unless you're special. If he's special, then he'll have success here at the major league level. That's kind of how professional sports work. We'll continue to talk about the top story. Jack Caglione is one day away from making his major league debut. He will debut tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals, and you can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive. Welcome back to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Rob is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Really excited to be here with you guys and talk about this Jack Caglione. Someone on the text line said, "See, out a lot of what I heard today makes Jack Caglione sound like Billy Butler." Let's be honest, or I guess real. Maybe not honest is not the correct phrase to say. Billy Butler played almost 400 games in the minors. That's nothing wrong with that. Billy Butler played 10 years in the majors, had a great career, hit a lot of home runs. Billy Butler's a great baseball player. Jack Caglione played 50 games in the minor leagues. He played 50. So I looked it up during the break because someone asked the question earlier today. What does that mean? He is now the third player from his draft class. He was drafted in 2024. So he is the third player in his draft class to already get called up. If you want to put that in comparison for last year's draft, I guess 2 years ago draft class. So Paul Skeens was the number one overall pick. You guys obviously know that he is in the major leagues. And there are 9 players from that draft class that have already made it. I would say if you were kind of looking at who you think he could potentially be and what like a realistic expectation could maybe be, I'm looking at Wyatt Langford, who plays for the Texas Rangers. They both went to the University of Florida. He played 3 years at Florida. As you would guess, he was really, really good at Florida. He hit 363 and hit 47 home runs while he was in college. He then played 49 games in the minors, in which he had a 350 batting average and had 11 home runs in those 50 games in the minors. And since then, he has played now a full season of Major League Baseball. He has played 184 games in the majors with the Rangers. He has hit 27 home runs and it has 98 RBIs and is hitting 250. Now, he has struck out a bunch. He struck out 168 times in 184 games. Something tells me that's how Jack Caglione is going to be. If you are trusting the scouts in which they are talking about chase rate and how he will swing at pitches out of the plate, I'm telling you at times he is going to appear to be overwhelmed because he is just going to strike out a bunch. But if you were telling me for a realistic comparison of who he could possibly be, I think you'd have to look at his teammate, Wyatt Langford. And if you were telling me that's who they're adding to their outfield, a guy who so far this season has played in 50 games for the Rangers, has 11 home runs, 24 RBIs, and has 7 doubles this year, I'll take that at age 23. I don't think you're counting on that guy to be the savior. That's why I hate that conversation when it comes to Jack Caglione. I don't think that anybody is putting that unfair expectation on him at 22 years old to come from Omaha and Northwest Arkansas to be the savior. If the Royals could add somebody right now who has 11 home runs in their lineup, the Royals make the playoffs. They might not win the World Series, but in a divisional race that appears like it's not going to be that close, but in a wild card race that feels like it's going to be really, really close. There's 5 teams fighting for 3 spots. The Royals are one of those teams. Could Jack Caglione be the difference in the Royals winning 85 games or 82 games, or the difference in the Royals winning 88 games as opposed to winning 84 games? If you think he could make that kind of difference with just giving you some kind of protection in the lineup or just giving you some kind of production as well, that's a guy that you will call up and you can live with some of the deficiencies that he's going to have as a young player because that is a difference maker. And if you look at their outfield, they didn't really have too many difference makers in the first 60 games for the Royals.
I'd say they are a Wyatt Langford away, not just Wyatt Langford would help. I think they are a Wyatt Langford away from making the playoffs simply because I don't think it's reasonable to expect this rotation to be the greatest rotation in team history for the duration of 162. Maybe they will. Maybe I'm wrong. Not saying they're going to totally fall off a cliff, but this rotation is doing historic stuff right now. And I think it's a little short-sighted to think that's going to continue at this pace. They're 2 or 3 Wyatt Langfords and probably a bullpen arm away from being more than that, being a team that can make a World Series run, win a pennant. So I don't really get the savior talk here either. But if you're telling me that in his first year in the big leagues, he's going to hit 27 home runs and drive in 90 and hit 250, I'm good with the strikeouts.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the Royals just scored 1 run through 2 games. They're calling him up after 2 weeks in AAA. Of course, they're calling him up to be the savior. If that's what you think the Royals are doing, then they're making a very foolish decision. What does being the savior for an offense look like at 22 years old? Let's say that he is Wyatt Langford, for example. We're using him as the basis of this conversation. Last year, Wyatt Langford played in 134 games. He had 25 doubles. He had 16 home runs, 74 RBIs, and hit 253. I don't think that's a savior offensively. I think that's a productive major league player. The Royals just don't have a lot of productive offensive options right now. Their leader in home runs has 8. We're past Memorial Day. Their leader in RBIs has 31. They are dead last in home runs. Think of some bad baseball teams out there. Teams that if they came into Kauffman Stadium, you would expect the Royals to sweep that team. The Royals have scored fewer runs than them. The Royals have hit fewer home runs have fewer runs than them. The Royals have a worse batting average than them. So what we're talking about offensively is I don't think the Royals are looking at him to be a savior. I think that's the wrong. I think they're expecting him to be an upgrade over what they have right now offensively, which is nothing.
Yeah, look, the Rockies are historic. It's not even funny how bad they are. You could not put a team into MLB The Show and try to get it as bad as possible and simulate the season and have it as bad as the Rockies are. They're on pace to win 24 games. For all the grief we gave the White Sox last year for winning 40 or 45 or whatever they ended up winning, the Rockies are on pace to win 24 games, and they've scored 10 runs less than the Royals, C-Dot. The offense is not going to be saved outside of anything besides Salvi and Vinny returning to their form and India picking it up and Bobby Witt breaking out of his little slump and Vinny hitting in clutch situations. I think the problem is on the fan that is expecting Jack Caglione to be the savior. I think you're setting yourself up for a miserable summer if you think Cags could even be a savior for this offense.
I just think that I agree with you. You are setting yourself up for some very unrealistic expectations if you are putting that on him at 22 years old to just come up and save the Royals offense. They're going to need way more than one offensive bat. They also need the bats that they have to start hitting better. Some of that starts with Bobby Witt Jr. A lot of that starts with Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino. If you were talking about saviors for the offense, how about the guy that finished 2nd in MVP voting last year? He needs to also be part of the solution here. He has 6 home runs in the first 2 months of the season. So some of the problems that they have are not just Jack Caglione who just got here. Some of the guys who have been here this entire time, they also need to be part of the solution. Of the Royals turning around in offense right now, the only team in baseball they have scored more runs than are the Colorado Rockies. They're 9-50. The Royals have too much talent, you would perceive offensively, to be as bad as they've been so far through the first 2 months of the season, which they've basically continued through September 1 of last year as well. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue talking about Jack Caglione, who is set to make his major league debut in St. Louis tomorrow for the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.